Amen, amen. Thank you, guys. Well, are you ready for God's word? Amen. Let me tell you something that I've told you many, many times and will continue to say that it's God's word that we must live by. That's how we live, is by the word of God. Hear me good. It's by God's word. And Jesus said that's how we must live, by his word. Amen? And listen to this. And you must hear his word over and over and over again. Now, sometimes, you know, we say, well, you know, I want to hear some new stuff. Well, you know, new stuff come in due time. And of course, new stuff must be the word of God. In other words, some folks call it a deeper revelation of the word of God, however you want to say it. But you know, it's important that we get the elementary things of God. Because if you're building a house, and if you don't have a good foundation, that house is not going to stand. You hear me? If you don't have a good foundation for that house to rest on, it's not going to stand. It may stand for a while, but as soon as a strong wind comes, as soon as a flood comes, guess what? That house is gone. Amen. And Jesus himself gave the same example of one man that built his house on the sand. You know, I guess he was in a hurry to get it up, man. He was ready to move in. He wanted to go on up to higher things, you know. He wanted deeper things. He wanted the deeper things of God, you know. And so he rushed on and thought he was okay until the storm came. The floods came. And guess what? He was without a house. And hopefully, I'm not sure. I have to go back and reread it. I don't know if Jesus said so or not, but I hope the guy lived through it. Now, this is not my message. This is just a little pre-thing here I'm giving you. But, you know, sometimes when we don't have a solid foundation, even though we may think we know some things, when the storm comes, we don't survive it. You hear me? Amen. We don't survive it. We don't survive the storm simply because we don't have a good foundation. So it's important that we as Christians build a solid foundation. And you don't build a foundation with one brick or with one block or with one bucket of cement. Whatever type of foundation you may have, you got to build on it by hearing over and over and over again. Hallelujah. If I leave here going to heaven, if I don't have anything else, I want to make sure I leave with a foundation. Amen. Knowing who Jesus Christ is. Praise God. That'll preach, won't it? Amen. Amen. But that's not my subject today, but I want to encourage you to always have your hearts open and your ears open to hear the word of God. And hearing newer things is okay, but make sure you have your foundation. Because let me say this before we move on. If you don't have a solid foundation, even if you hear, quote unquote, deeper things of God. If you don't have the foundation, you won't recognize whether it's God or not. I've had people tell me, well, I want to go on into the deeper things of God. But you know, sometimes there's some things us pastors know. You know, God doesn't tell us everything about you, but only what we need to know. You know, I'm a former military man. I used to be in the military. And in the military, you know, you have different clearances, you know, secret clearances. You know, some folks have top secret clearances and some have lesser. So the different degrees of clearances. But it's given based on your need to know. Not because you're curious or because you're nosy. It's your need to know. Now, all the former military people, raise your hand. Raise your hand. Be proud. Raise your hand. Military. All right. Now, do y'all remember what I'm talking about? Amen. There were some things you just didn't know, and they weren't going to tell you because you had no need to know. Amen. Well, let me move on, because if I don't, I'll turn to John, Gospel of John, chapter 12. Gospel of John, chapter 12. Hallelujah. When you get there, say amen. Okay, I think I heard one or two amens, so I'll give you another 3 seconds. All right, when you get there, say amen. All right, that's better. Father, we thank you for this time that we have together. Thank you, Father, for everyone that is gathered here today. Thank you, Father, for those that are watching the live stream this morning. I pray, dear Lord, that they will have ears to hear, open ears to hear, and an open heart to receive your word today. Because truly, Father, you want to use them for your glory. You want to use them for your glory. You created them for your glory. You created all of us, Father God, for your glory and for your pleasure. So I pray, Father God, that we receive revelation from your word today. Thank you, Father, for your call and your anointing upon me to minister your word. Hallelujah. And we will give you all the praise, the honor, and the glory. In Jesus' mighty name, shout amen with me. Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. Now, this verse I read to you last Sunday, and matter of fact, what I'm doing is picking up pretty much where we left off last Sunday. You probably hear some things you heard last week. But in the Gospel of John, chapter 12, verse 26, Jesus says, if anyone serves me, everybody say serve. If anyone serves me, let him follow me, and where I am, there my what? Servant will be also. If anyone serves me, him my Father will honor. Praise God. Praise God. So we see servant or serve 3 times in that one verse. We have been called to serve. And my subject, once again, as it was last week, is Christian service. I guess you can say Christian service part 2 if you want to. But we have been called to serve. We are here for a reason. There's a purpose for your life. There's a purpose for my life. And you being here, let me say this. You've heard me say it before, but I want to say it again. Your being here is God's idea. Amen. Say this again. Get this in your spirit. Your being here is God's idea. Do you believe that? That'll set you free if you get the revelation of it. I am here today because God wants me here today. I was born because God wants me on this earth. There's a purpose for my life. There's a purpose for me being here. And I was born, and so were you, for God's glory and for his pleasure. Think about that for a moment. When somebody tell you you're no good, you're no count, you're good for nothing, you know people can be cruel, can't they? Just remember, that's coming from man, not from God. Amen. Amen. Don't you ever forget that. You were created to serve. And some people get a little bit confused because of the circumstances behind them getting here. Well, nature takes its course without me going into details. Y'all smart people, you can figure it out. Nature have a way of taking its course, whether it's legal or illegal, or where it's just or unjust. There are certain things that already in nature that's going to happen. But let me tell you something. Life comes from God. Amen. Amen. You know, I didn't ask to be 6 feet. I had no choice in that. I didn't ask to be black. God didn't dial me up before I came to the earth and ask me what's my preference. Don't get me wrong. I'm proud of who I am. Hallelujah. Let me tell you something. Y'all do know I'm going to get to my message, right? But I want to tell you something to set you free. When you look in the mirror, love who you are. If you're black, love yourself. If you're white, love yourself. If you're Asian, love yourself. If you're some other nationality, love yourself. Because remember, God didn't ask you for your opinion on anything. Because he loves me just the way I am. Amen. And if he loves me, guess what? I should love me. Amen. And let me tell you something else. If you are different than me, guess what? I should love you. And matter of fact, I have a command from God to love you. I should love you. Why? Because just like God didn't ask me what I wanted to be, he didn't ask you either. You're still here. That's the reason the Bible tells us over and over and over and over and over and over. Love one another. God loves diversity. Even down to the animals. All the you know, if you have a pet, they're not all alike, are they? Pets are not, birds are not alike. Flowers are not alike, not all of them. They're different. God loves diversity. And we need to love one another just like God loves us. Amen. All right, let's get back to Christian service. But you know, when God put these things on my heart, I want to give them to you because they are important. Now, last week we talked about the fact that we were called to be servants of the Lord. Amen. Paul identified himself, the Apostle Paul, as a servant of the Lord. The Apostle James identified himself as a servant of the Lord. Jude, Peter, excuse me, they all identified themselves as servants of the Lord. They were servants of the Lord. And we too need to take on that mindset. I am a servant of the Lord. I am not my own. I am bought with a price. I have been paid for by the blood of Jesus Christ. You ever thought about it? You ever thought about this? Maybe you have, maybe you haven't. But I want you to think about it right now. Just think about this for a moment. Well, let me tell you, and then you can think about it. As I look across this congregation, I see some very expensive people. Now, you may not have 2 cents rubbed together. I don't know. But you are expensive. You are precious. You are more precious than gold and silver. Why? Because you cost Jesus his life. He came to purchase us, but we were expensive. He suffered. He shed his blood. We have been redeemed by the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. So look at the person sitting beside you, maybe your husband, wife, child, or whatever, and just tell them, say, I just want you to know I am expensive. Now, if you happen to be the wife sitting beside your husband, don't be throwing no hints now. Let's keep everything spiritual, all right? You know, don't be trying to throw hints. Well, I want this certain dress. There's a diamond I've been looking at. I just want you to know. We're not talking naturally. We are expensive. We cost Jesus Christ his life. He had to step down out of glory down here to this sinful earth to purchase us. Amen. But it's been paid in full. Hallelujah. So now, because of the fact that he was willing to do all that to redeem us, we should be more than willing to serve him. Can I get another amen on that? Amen. Amen. Praise God. And I want to talk to you about godly service. So turn in your Bibles to the book of Titus. Titus. Hallelujah. Titus chapter 3. Now, in Titus chapter 3, matter of fact, it's a couple of verses I want to bring out to you, point out to you. But I'm just going to read a little bit, all right? I believe this will bless you. We're not in a hurry, are we? Amen. Amen. If we don't finish today, we'll revisit it again next week. But Titus chapter 3, I'll just begin reading at verse 3. And I'm reading from the New King James Bible. It says, "For we ourselves were also once foolish, disobedient, deceived." Is there any amens out here? Amen. "Serving various lusts and pleasures, living in malice and envy, hateful and hating one another." It's the truth, isn't it? Look at verse 4. "But when the kindness and the love of God, our Savior, toward man appeared, not by works of righteousness which we have done, But according to his mercy, he saved us through the washing of regeneration and renewing of the Holy Spirit, whom he poured out on us abundantly through Jesus Christ, our Savior, that having been justified by his grace, somebody shout hallelujah. Hallelujah. Amen. That having been justified by his grace, we should become heirs according to the hope of eternal life. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Now let's take a look at verse 8 here. This is one of the verses I was going to read to you. This is a faithful saying. Listen to this now. This is a faithful saying, and these things I want you to affirm constantly. Now, excuse me. Now, the Apostle Paul here was letting him know, listen, this is important. You must do this. You must make sure that you do this. Let me start from the beginning of verse 8. This is a faithful saying, and these things I want you to affirm constantly, that those who have believed in God, say that's me. If you saved, say that's me. Those who have believed in God should be what? Careful to do what? Maintain good works, to serve, to please God, to do that is good, to do that is right. These things are good and profitable to men. Now let me read on. Now, verse 8, and then we'll move on a little further, because this is good information also, so I want to read it. It says, but, verse 9, but avoid foolish disputes. Somebody say amen to that.
Amen.
Don't get caught up in stuff that don't even matter. But avoid foolish disputes, genealogies, contentions, and strivings about the law, for they are unprofitable and useless. Reject a divisive man. You know what you need to underline that in your Bible if you hadn't already. Anyone that comes to you bringing division, you need to reject them. Reject a divisive man after the first and second admonition. And that's the church also. Do you know, you don't hear much about it nowadays. You don't hear much about it. I don't think it happens too often. But you know, people still can be excommunicated from the church when they come in bringing division and strife. And we see it right here. You warn them once, twice, but if they don't listen, show them the door. Some of you looking at me like, really, Pastor? Titus 3:10, read it. God does not like division. In Proverbs, it says one of the seven things that God hates, and that's an abomination to him, that he that causes discord among the brethren. Amen. Amen. You know, I've made up my mind, and I asked God to help me do this. If If I can't help, I'm certainly not going to hurt. If I can't bring unity, I'm certainly not going to cause division. Because, see, I have to answer to God for that. Amen. All right. Verse 11, knowing that such a person is warped and sinning, being self-condemned. When I sent Artemis to you, or Tychicus, and I guess I'm pronouncing that right, be diligent to come to me at Nicopolis, for I have decided to spend the winter here. And, well, I didn't really have to read all that anyhow. I could have just skipped down. But since I started reading, we'll finish it. Verse 13, send Zenas the lawyer and Apollos on their journey with haste that they may lack nothing. Now, 14 is where I was going. 14 is where I was going. And let our people also learn to do what? To do what? Amen. And let our people also learn to maintain good works to meet urgent needs that they may not be unfruitful. Amen. Jesus said that he's called us to bear fruit. In other words, you have been called to serve. You have been called to work for God. Amen. So now I want to give you some points that I think is very, very important. Point number one. Have a desire to serve, or you can say it this way, develop a desire to serve. Develop a desire to serve. Told you last week, last Sunday, that even in this church, there are things that we need. We have to have people. It's God using people that makes a ministry work. I've heard people say, "Well, wonder why they're not doing this and doing that and doing this." You know, there's a need over here and there's a need over there. Well, you know what? There can be needs. But if you don't have anyone to step up, you can't fulfill that need. You can't meet that need. Amen. You know, nowadays, in many people's minds, when you tell them God wants to use them, in many people's minds, they go straight to ministry. Oh, God wants me to preach. Not necessarily. And even if you're called to preach, God may not put you in a position of ministry right away. Because you ain't ready. And I talked about this a little bit last week also, but it's very, very important. When you are a minister, you are speaking into the lives of other people. And there are people that sit in the congregation or wherever it is you may be speaking, and they are looking to you and depending upon you to speak into their life the words of life, the word of God, telling them what is right. And being willing, listen to this, and being willing to speak the truth whether they like it or not. Because I'm here to tell you, I've been pastoring this church this coming June, just this church, this coming June will be 35 years. Now, over the past, we'll say 34 and a little over half years, I've had people get mad at me. Not everybody like what you preach. Not everybody like the decision that you made. But as a minister, you got to make sure, though, that you're making the right decision and it lines up with God's word and that you don't have any ulterior motive for the decision that you made. You should never make a decision to get back on at anybody or hurt anybody. Because we're supposed to love people. Can I get an amen on that? But sometimes love will smash your toes. Sometimes love will make you mad. If you don't believe it, ask Jesus. He was perfect in every way. Yet he got some folk upset. Because what he taught went crosswise of what they wanted to do. Now, if you want a good pastor, a good pastor is going to tell you the truth, whether you like it or not. Amen. Tell you the truth, whether you like it or not. A good pastor will tell you the truth anyhow. If you get up, walk out the door, and take your money with you. Yeah. Because, and not just pastor, any minister should. Because you have to understand that we answer to God and not to man. Amen. Y'all still here? Now, let me get a show of hands here. How many of you want me to tell you the truth, whether it hurts or not? Just hold your hand up high, so because it take me a little time to just kind of look and see who's got the hand up. And now you're telling me you want me to tell you the truth, whether it hurts or not, and you are trusting me to tell you in love. Thank you. You can put your hand down. Now, I want to tell you something else while I'm on that subject. We're going to move on. Each and every one of you here that's looking at me right now, every one of you, I have the highest respect for you. Do you hear me? I have the highest respect for you. Doesn't matter what size of the track you come from or however you, how you see yourself, I have the greatest respect for you. Because you're created in God's image and God's likeness. Jesus died for you. He thought you was important enough to die for. I respect you and I love you. But I'm required of the one that died for you to tell you the truth. Now see, that's shouting stuff there. Why? Wait a minute, I'm preaching a shouting sermon. Nobody's shouting. I thought you'd be jumping chairs and seats, and we don't have any chandeliers. We got one outside to swing from, but I'm messing with you a little bit now. But it's the truth, isn't it? Amen. Amen. So now let me get back to where I was. See, y'all thought I forgot where I was. But see, too many times today, if we know that we're called of God and God wants to use us, we look at the ministry, and that's a great thing. That's a great place to be. Thank God for good ministers. Amen. But you don't start out there. So be willing to serve God. Just remember, he that is faithful in little things, God will make him or her ruler over greater things. And I remember my life and Kathy's life and sweeping floors and doing whatever we could with our limited knowledge that we had, but we used it for God's glory. See, folks, that's the attitude we got to have. I love Jesus, so I'm willing to serve him. Amen. Willing to serve him. Y'all hear me tell the story about Kathy and I, and we just knew we were supposed to be serving the Lord, but we didn't know what to do. So, but we knew we should be winning people to Christ. So we'd go downtown Chesterfield on Saturday nights and stand in the back lot. Some of you from Chesterfield area, you know where the back lot is, and witness to the drunks. And guess what? We led some of them to the Lord too. Amen. And I'm not telling you, and please don't go somewhere in some back lot and everybody's drunk and high and say, Pastor sent me, because I didn't. Because if I want to send you, I'll talk to you personally. Okay? But I'm using that as an example. You know, be willing to serve in your church. This church, or those that are watching the live stream that may not be members of this church, serve in your church. Be faithful. Be faithful. Everybody say, be faithful.
Be faithful.
Because God's called us to serve. Amen. Pastor Gould. And Pastor Gould, if you happen to be watching, I'm plugging your book. But, and I do so proudly and gladly, he wrote a book some years back, Every Ministry Needs Help. Not just any help, but the right kind of help. Amen. Every ministry needs help. We've been called to serve. You still with me for a few more minutes?
Amen.
Be willing, this is number two, be willing to make the sacrifices necessary to serve. Too many times we don't want to sacrifice. Well, you know, my favorite show is coming on. So I don't believe I can help today. Well, even technology has made that even easier for you. Now you can just record it. Go back and watch it later. Think about this for a moment. Jesus made the greatest sacrifice possible for me and for you. Why are we sometimes unwilling to sacrifice for him? Sometimes someone need prayer and we know they need prayer, but we're in a hurry. and we won't pray for them. Always remember, he made the ultimate sacrifice for us. We should be willing to make sacrifices for him. Be willing to sacrifice to serve. If you have to rearrange your schedule to do something for him, be willing to do that. And here's the good thing. Whatever we sacrifice for him, he never forgets. Turn in your Bible to Hebrews chapter 6. Sixth chapter of Hebrews. You can underline this too. Look at verse 10. For God is not unjust to forget your what? Work and labor of love which you have shown toward his name, in that you have ministered to the saints and do minister. When you help somebody in Jesus' name, God will never, ever forget. He'll never forget. Praise God. Isn't that good to know? Nobody else may not even know what you did, but God knows. And he saw it. And he wrote it down. Now, so number one, have a desire to serve. Number two, be willing to make sacrifices to serve. Number three, you ready for this one? Serve with the right attitude. Yeah, I'm gonna do it, but I'll tell you what, I ain't gonna like it. Call on me all the time. Call on me all, always want this, want that, want me to do this. I tell you, I don't like it. Well, now, wait a minute. We need to have the right attitude, don't we? Philippians chapter 2. Philippians chapter 2. I tell you what, I begin reading at verse 12. It says, therefore, my beloved, as you have always obeyed, not as in my presence only, but now much more in my absence, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. For it is God who works in you both to will and to do for his good pleasure. Everybody say verse 14. Do all things without what? Without what? Say that again. And disputing. Now, if I struck a nerve, don't get mad at me. Let's chalk it up to love and pastoral responsibility. But I'm going to read it again. Do all things without complaining and disputing. Don't complain about it and don't fuss over it. Look at verse 15. That you may become blameless and harmless, children of God without fault in the midst of a crooked and perverse generation, among whom you shine as lights in the world. Jesus said we're the light of the world, right? And we're set on a hill. God set us on the hill. When we are griping and complaining all the time, guess what? Our light's getting dim. But you know, us believers are supposed to set an example for the world and for other believers and for the world. If we're griping and complaining and fussing and arguing all the time, that's not a good example. And there was silence in heaven for the space of 30 minutes. But I know you're thinking, and I know you're listening. I appreciate your attention. But whatever we do, let's keep the right attitude. I only went through three of them. I have some more, but I'm going to stop right here, because I want you to be able to digest and go back and reread and meditate on what I've told you already. Now, let me go through it again. The first three: have a desire to serve God, serve people in the name of Jesus. Serve the ministry. Be willing to serve. Number two, be willing to make a sacrifice to serve. It may cost you something, but be willing to do it anyway. Number three, serve with the right attitude. Serve with a smile on your face. Now, see, that's the thing about these masks. See, I can't tell when y'all smiling. I'm up here preaching, and y'all got your mask on, so I don't know what you may be whispering under your breath. I don't know if you're smiling or you're snarling or what. So I'm preaching by faith. But that's okay. You keep your mask on. I'm believing God one day we won't need masks. Amen. Amen. Can you stand in faith with me? Hallelujah. Praise the name of the Lord. Amen. I know y'all not snarling at me. I know that, y'all. I trust you. Y'all good people. Amen. I say y'all good people.
Amen.
Yeah. Praise God. I thank God. It's an honor to pastor you. But let me tell you something. We want to serve with the right attitude. With a smile on our face. Well, what if I don't feel like smiling? Smile anyway. You smile anyway. Hallelujah. Father, we thank you for your word. We know your word, dear Lord, will never return back to you void. Father, may we serve you with joy. With a joyful heart.